It is the night of the pink full moon, and in podcast 824, we're going to do the first walk and talk of the season. It's warm enough and quiet enough out here to do a walk and talk, and we're going to do it under the beautiful full moon in Libra, the second full moon in Libra in 2 months. So that's part of the reason they're calling it the pink moon. As you know, these days, everything has to have some kind of name in order to be real. And we're going to talk about that and many other things because the rules of the walk and talk are clear. No prep and no plan. So we're going to walk and we're going to talk as we head through the park in the dark loam and the beautiful moon overhead in podcast 824, the Bob Davis Podcasts. And yes, it is springtime out here, and you know what that means. It means that it is going to be in the 70s very soon, and that is when you can have Ryan Plumbing and Heating come over and check your AC. It's a good idea to make sure it is working before you turn it on. You wouldn't believe the number of people that have air conditioning problems. They wait until it's 97 degrees, and their air conditioning doesn't work. And then, of course, they call Ryan Plumbing and Heating, and they're booked because they're doing other stuff. So you want to have them come over, check that stuff, check the box in the backyard, make sure everything's working right, because when it comes to keeping all these systems running right, especially these days at home or your business, when you have plumbing or heating problems, or actually air conditioning problems, you want reliable service. Of course, that is Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Four generations over in Frogtown. Here's the number in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. They are all over the metro. So I always mention Inver Grove, but Mendota Heights, on the east side of the metro, East St. Paul, West St. Paul, St. Paul, obviously, moving up north, Shoreview. I always forget to mention Shoreview, my favorite place, because they have the towers at Shoreview, the huge towers from the tower farm, which I have a long story about that tower, but I won't. We almost went up there one night when it was like 25 below, and it didn't work. Long story. We almost went all the way up. Those towers are 1,320 feet high, and it's probably a good thing we didn't go, because I'd be dead. Anyway, sorry, Greg Ryan, to talk about the towers while I'm talking about Shoreview. But yeah, they go to Shoreview, they go to Maple Grove, and then moving west, Plymouth, Golden Valley, St. Louis Park, and then south, obviously, you know, Chaska, Shakopee, Burnsville, Eden Prairie. Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul on the east side of the river, 651-224-4771. On the west side of the river in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Like I said, four generations, residential and business, because when it comes to keeping all this stuff working right, today these systems are very complex. You need somebody that knows what they're doing, and that is Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. Well, I've got my coffee in my left hand and my digital recorder in my right hand. This is the stance, and these are the tools of the walk and talk. I wait all through winter, which has this year been really, really trying. Can't wait to get out here as soon as it warms up and do walk and talks. I don't like doing them in the winter. It's just not the same, and the equipment gets cold, and there's nothing like summer in Minnesota. And finally, it's going to be 70 this weekend. We're in the high 60s, looks like the rest of April, and we're heading into this beautiful period of summer. So this is the first walk and talk of the season. And, you know, it's also time for one of those consolidation podcasts. So I've done a number of podcasts that have been either heavily produced or really carefully thought through and written and have attacked specific topics. And it's been a long time. And I'll tell you why, because I don't like doing them this way, since I just sat down at the microphone and talked off the top of my head. You know, I try to, especially when I'm going to do a podcast about something that, I don't want to spill coffee all over myself here, especially when I do a podcast about something that's got, you know, some heft or something I feel strongly about, and I've often talked about that, I'll sit down and I'll try to do it. And what happens is, because of the way that I talk, it just ends up taking too long, and I can't get to the point. And, you know, the biggest struggle in doing this, I don't believe in 1.5 hour long podcasts. I don't believe in wasting your time. So I try to get to the core of the content as quickly as possible. And then my big problem is the cadence of my speech and the you knows and the fact that my brain just goes in 14 different directions at one time, and I sit back and I listen to it. After I finished it, it's 39 minutes or something, which for me is long. And I just am so angry and disgusted with myself, I can barely contain myself. So it's better for me to do podcasts where I actually think it through. And I think that's kind of where the really good podcasts are headed. The really big podcasts, and I've talked about this too, are really full. They're like produced like TV stations, like produced like TV shows. So there are writers and everything else. And I think it's because what's happening is there's so many podcasts that just waste people's time that then if you do that kind of a podcast, you're just wasting everyone's time. So what I've done is I've said, well, when I get it all done, it's about 26 minutes of copy if I'm really good and it's focused. And the podcast with the intro and the outro and everything else is somewhere around 30 minutes. And that gives you time to listen to another podcast. It also gives you time to get, you know, it's the average commute is something like 30 minutes and it fits right in there. And of course, there's enough podcasts that if you listen to one and it's only 30 and you want to listen to another one, you can't. So that's why I do it that way. I don't like to sit down in front of the microphones in the studio because there's too much hemming and hawing and you knows and all that stuff. But for some reason, when I'm out walking, well, it's a completely different story. And there's always the environmental, hey, listen, because let's just listen, because you probably haven't heard this, because we all have been cooped up in our houses all winter long. So because it is the third week of April, and what you don't hear is you don't hear any frogs, you don't hear any bugs. So this is just the raw sound from outside. The trees have not yet, they've budded, but there's no leaves. So the trees are still naked. But the temperature is pleasant. And what we hear is we can hear the traffic on the freeways around the area. But not a single sound otherwise. No bugs. Nothing. And it won't be long. It'll probably take, I predict that within another week to 10 days, you'll hear frogs when you come out here. It won't take long. They're already in process. So for me, this is just a fantastic moment because this is the beginning of this wonderful season that I am such a big fan of, which is, of course, summer. I don't care that it's only 55 or 40 degrees out here right now. To me, this is summer because there's no snow on the ground. So this is summer. Anyway, so all these podcasts that I've done recently, these really, you know, I've been really careful to shift back and forth between things like weather and the Salza podcast and some pretty heavy podcasts about social media, some pretty, you know, the one I just did, Intimate Moments, the sharing on social media, and then the one about the whole thing in the 6th District with the Somalis and Congressman Tom Emmer. And it's very interesting to me because, you know, I spend a lot of time on YouTube, and one of my favorite things to do is to do a light survey every night after I watch TV. I lay down and I watch YouTube, and I do a light survey of insanity. And there are a number of astrologers and New Age people on YouTube that just are endless entertainment to me. I just love it. And one of my favorites is this woman, and her handle is Aluna Ash, A-L-U-N-A, Aluna Ash, on YouTube. And she's one of the ascension people. So she's one of the people who believes in the idea that we are ascending into a different reality and that we've got to make this consciousness shift, and it's going to be another planet and everything else. But she also does readings like astrology and tarot card readings, of course. And I, you know, every now and then you find a gem. And Aluna Ash, did a whole thing on a recent YouTube video about the vibration problem with following or swimming in the river of media and what passes for news these days. And it was the new age version of I'm sick of the news. And I thought, bang, that is perfect. Two, Ocasio-Cortez, just a couple days ago, put that podcast up about social media and oversharing on social media and not saving any experiences like this one for yourself. So there are things that happen that happen to us, that we have these experiences on a daily basis, that some of those experiences should be kept secret. They should be ours, I think. Because I think that there's a loss of integrity and a loss of personal ownership and a loss of personal experience that takes place through this. So I did this podcast, I put it up, bang, two stories. One, Ocasio-Cortez says that she's going to go off Facebook because she believes that it contributes to, it's a mental health problem, in her words, which is actually pretty amazing that she said that, considering that she's been all over social media for a long time. That's the first thing. Second thing is, ran into a story, and I forgot his name, and I'm sorry, the CEO of Twitter is saying that Twitter has to change, that it has become a tool for people to grind their axes, and we have to do something about the algorithm and the approach and the platform known as Twitter. And of course, immediately all the people on Twitter attacked him, which is, you know, proof of what he's saying, as far as I'm concerned. I have said I think Twitter is just a cesspool, and it's a sad thing because depending on who you follow, all you get are these either Republicans or Democrats attacking each other. Who wants to see that? So what Aluna Ash was saying was that this, following this trend, this talking about, contributing to, repeating, talking about the news events on any given day, whether it's the Mueller report and the whole thing about whether Congress is going to impeach Trump or anything else, distracts us from other things going on. Now, in her world, what she's talking about is spiritual energy. She's talking about the world that is going on beyond the world that we see. Those things bring your vibration down to the point where you are not able to experience this quote-unquote ascension. I think that's pretty much BS, although I will say that there is a study recently which may prove that this quantum jumping thing may actually have some validity. And I'm not going to say that it does because I want to see, I'm not even going to talk about it because I want to see whether that study is actually going to be debunked or what. But it was a study that physicists did and said basically that there may be some rule of physics, let's say, that supports the twin worlds theory, that there's another world in another dimension just like ours with people. There's another Bob Davis somewhere in another dimension on an Earth in another dimension doing a podcast. And there was a TV show about it called Fringe, by the way, which was actually pretty cool. It was an ABC show, I think, a while back, and it was about separate realities. Anyway, I don't want to go into that, but it was a cool show. So there may be some validity to this concept of quantum jumping. Quantum jumping meaning that you can create a different reality, or you can jump from these different dimensions. My thing with that is, I'm not sure how you would know if you'd done that. And some people in this community actually suggest that people are jumping all the time and they don't even know it. So they're moving into different dimensions on different dimensions. So dimensionally, we're in the same place. It's just a different dimension. You know, is that true? I don't know. It's a fantastic thing to think about. But the thing that I keyed on was this this thing where everyone's talking about the same thing, where Ben Shapiro's got a tweet about, you know, what's her name, Ilhan Omar, where John Hinderaker's got to take somebody on because they said something about defending Ilhan Omar, or, you know, somebody's got to attack some woman from Florida who's got a conservative handle, has to, you know, count coup on the liberals because the Mueller report didn't, you know, say that Trump was an evil, horrible human being, that kind of thing, which to me is just, you know, I spent 10 years talking about that stuff every day, and my theory is that you talk about this kind of stuff, people listen to it, and then they go right on with their lives, and they just either laugh at you, you're not convincing anyone, you're not informing anyone, you're not doing anything. So it's a struggle these days to find that thing to talk about that can illuminate and it's good for me to talk about. I don't necessarily do this for you, but I do it for me. So if I really wanted to get a lot of listeners, I'd be talking about the Mueller report. But what am I going to tell you about the Mueller report? You know, you can read it yourself in all its redacted glory and make your own conclusions about it. You don't need me to tell you what's in the report. And quite honestly, what I'm going to say is not going to make any difference anyway, and I'm done doing that. I'm done telling people how to think, and I'm done leading the way, because guess what? Nobody does anything anyway. And that probably sounds cynical, but it's the truth. So yeah, this is the first walk and talk of the season, and in the second half of this podcast, we will continue the walk. You know, I was looking across the street the other day and noticed that the house went up for sale, and the old couple that used to live there moved out, and today a moving van showed up and a young couple moved into that house. And like a lot of these mid-century suburban homes, you know, the basements may not be done. There's a little bedroom in the back and a littler bedroom along the side. Maybe if you're lucky, there's a third bedroom, but usually there are two bedrooms. And in many places, you can get help, you can get grants and stuff to add on to your home. You can finish the basement, you can add a master suite up above the house. And to do that, you need a builder. You need someone who is going to be there with you every step of the way, and that is Whitetail Builders of Andover, Minnesota. I'm happy to refer Whitetail and Whitetail's Randy Graybaugh, because this is what they do. In fact, Randy was talking the other day about helping people out who are doing their own general contracting and not being able to get in touch with the contractor. And he said, had these people call me because I can help them with the contractor, because when I call them, they will call me back. 612-282-8801. That's Randy's personal phone, 612-282-8801. Here's the deal. Whitetail is focused on details, which is what you need when you're adding onto your house, finishing your basement, doing the garage, or, you know, whatever it is that you want to do in your house, especially if you're young, or if your kids are leaving and you want to stay in the house in your retirement years, there are things you want to do to make that place function better for you. Getting things on one level, you know, again, finishing a basement that never got finished despite all the years that you lived there. Whatever it is, Whitetail is focused on details, and they will be there with you every step of the way, because the process to them is just as important as the end result. Once again, you can check them out online at whitetailbuildersinc.com and see some of the great stuff they've done. Randy Graybaugh is a great guy. 612-282-8801. That's 612-282-8801. And you know, people always say that, oh, Randy's a great guy. But here's the thing, he's going to get the job done, and he's going to get the job done right, and he's going to be there with you so you can have contact with him. Randy Graybaugh at Whitetail Builders, 612-282-8801. That's 612-282-8801. Whitetail Builders, Inc. You can also click on that banner at the top of the page of BobDavisPodcast.com, and that takes you to WhitetailBuildersInc.com, their website. One of the best events of the entire summer is the air show at Oshkosh. And if you are heading over there, it is really something to see. If you're a pilot and you're flying over there, well, then you already know that you want to be safe in that pattern, because that tower, you know, in the air show is the busiest airport in the world, and they're not going to mess around with you. And you want to be safe, and you want to know that your wing is producing enough lift on those final turns. That is what Alpha Systems does. Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. Bottom line is Alpha Systems AOA saves lives. They'll be at the EAA air show. I'll tell you more about that later, but you can click on the Alpha Systems banners at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com for more info about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator. When I talk about Walk and Talks or consolidation podcasts, sometimes if you're following the podcast, if you're listening to the podcast one after the other, so 821, 822, 823, 824, one of those podcasts needs to kind of just reach back and say, okay, here's what I've done recently and here's why maybe you want to listen to that one or listen to this one, or here's some stuff that I didn't get in that podcast that I wanted to mention, and I don't want to have to go through a long and involved production process to get to it. So I do the walk and talk so that I can just walk around and kind of think out loud about some of the stuff that I've been doing recently. And I like those podcasts. I think a couple of them were pretty tough for some people to hear. What I look for when I talk about, when I'm not talking about society, so to me the Aluna Ash thing or YouTube videos about stuff are about society, and they're a window into our society, which is one of the reasons I love YouTube. Or they're about a pivot point in politics, which to me is society too. So my approach to this is to say, okay, so for 10 years, you know, I was on conservative talk radio, and for lack of a better term, whatever that is. And generally what you do in talk radio is you get up in the morning, or you do it the day before, and you go through all the news and you find these salient news stories and you talk about them. And you are, it's very audience driven, because the expectation is you're going to get calls, and you end up following your audience into the abyss, because the audience needs to be led. The audience does not get to say, this is what you're going to talk about. I mean, if you want to do that, fine, don't listen to my podcast, because I'm not going to be predictable in terms of what I'm going to talk about. And I think the best talent, whether it's on the air or in podcasts, come up with their own stuff. So one of the things that I've learned podcasting, because I'm not on the radio every day anymore, is I don't have to do that anymore. And not only don't I have to do that, maybe I shouldn't even do that. So today, one of the things I did just for fun was to just go online. And if you go to Google Trends, you can see what's trending on Google. And Twitter has the same kind of feature. Facebook, I don't even care. I don't want to know, and I don't think they have it. But you can see what the top trended searches are. And obviously today, because they released the full Mueller report, that was, I think, the number three or four most searched story. But the top two were sports. And underneath were movies and things of that nature. The suggestion here is, and on Twitter, one of the top trending stories was how cats of rich people live. Now, the reason I mention that is that if you're a political junkie and you thrive on every little word said, and you're on Twitter four times a day trying to find out what so-and-so said about what so-and-so said, you would think that the political news coming out of Washington is the most important thing in the whole world. And when you do a Google trend search, so this is a trend of what is being searched on Google, which is the leading search engine. And I'm sure Bing has it too, if you want to look at Bing or DuckDuckGo or whatever your little, you know, I don't want people to track me search engine is. Same with Twitter. You would be surprised, even on Twitter, that the things that trend the most are not, they are not political stories. So you've got this sub-universe of people who are super into politics, and they're driving the wagon. This is what I said before. You've got about maybe 100,000 people in the whole country who, let's just say, who are super active in this and on Twitter and on Facebook and everything else, and they're driving the bus for the rest of us in terms of what we're going to be exposed to. And I just think that it's time to say, well, we're going to wait for a pivot point. So when the economic data is released, when there is an outcome in terms of a legislative, action. So when they passed the tax bill, I read the tax bill and I talked about reading the tax bill, because that was a pivot point. When the economic numbers came out, I said, okay, here's the economic numbers. You know, Trump likes to say that he's the most successful president in economics, and you know, since God was a boy. Well, it's just not true, and here's why. So that you can say, well, at least we're going to go with the pivot points. I'm not going to tell people what to think. We'll wait until there is a result. And when the result comes out, then we will talk about it. So that's kind of the direction of these podcasts. Doesn't mean I'm not going to talk about politics. Doesn't mean that I don't have opinions about politics. Increasingly, I find, and I think everyone knows this who listens to me, increasingly I find that everyone, Republicans and Democrats, so to speak, whatever that is, and quote-unquote conservatives and liberals, whatever that is, are reaching levels of disgust with the government that are probably unprecedented. And by the way, it's not limited to Republicans. I just noticed this week that the Democrats are having trouble raising money because they've got all these sort of B-list candidates running. And I just think people are like, you know what, this isn't even an election year. And these people are deluded. They're already tramping all over Iowa, going to every coffee shop and thrift store and McDonald's they can find to go in and you know, glad hand people in Iowa. And then we have to see that on television and we have to hear about that. Beto O'Rourke was in a coffee shop in Iowa yesterday and said the following. Well, does it matter? Do you need to know that? No, you don't. And so what I'm trying to do is to try to say, you know, there is more to life. And I think many people are starting to come to that conclusion. And I think it's starting with social media. I think Facebook as a platform is degrading rapidly. I think Twitter as a platform is degrading rapidly. And I think people are starting to turn away from this stuff because the experience, in other words, sitting down and watching your favorite TV show is one thing. Being compelled to check your social media because you're afraid somebody might say something against you or something like that on an hourly basis is another thing entirely. And I think people are starting to have a negative reaction to this stuff. You know, millennials, it's very interesting because my nephew, so my son is now almost 30 and my nephew is almost 30. I have another nephew who's a little older than 30 and a niece who is a little younger than that. And then we have some younger ones that are, you know, they're 11 or 9 or something. The millennials who are turning 30 and who are in their late 20s are starting to say, and they said a long time ago, actually, this is just such a negative experience. I don't want to have anything to do with it. So I wonder when we think about change, and I guess that's kind of the subject of this podcast, because I'm changing, what I'm doing is changing, the world around us is changing, we're getting older, none of us are getting younger, and we're experiencing the world differently, and we're moving into a period of either forced change or significant change in the way the world operates. And we really are going to have to examine what we think we are expecting to have quote unquote government do and what we are expecting to have happened. All of the landmarks of the last 20 years are sort of changing into new landmarks. So the Obama era, the Bush era gave way to the Obama era, gives way to the Trump era. Who knows how long that's going to last? Facebook was super hot in 2009. It's now a degraded experience. So what follows? What comes after these things? What kinds of things are going to change in the next 10 years? And how will we take those changes? How is the world going to change? How is the world economy going to change? And as this full moon reaches its point of maximum intensity, this particular full moon, really, the astrologists will tell you, is in fact about change and forced change if necessary. So we're going through some heavy, heavy, heavy stuff, whether it's the fire and everyone's reaction to it at Notre Dame or political stuff, this heaviness. It doesn't have to be that way. We don't have to have that kind of heaviness. Spring is coming. Warm spring is coming. Summer is coming on the heels of that. The flowers and the trees are going to come out. The sun is going to shine. And we can experience life without having to worry about what someone said today or what is done to us or for us in Washington. And on top of all this stuff going on, you know what is on television? So I have Amazon Prime, and one of my favorite things about Amazon Prime is they put up these shows. Well, the show Naked City is on Prime, and you know, it was shot on location in New York City. This is at the end of the 50s. So if you've ever been to New York and you have any experience of New York City, it's really cool to see these on-location shots all over the city in black and white of what the city was like at that time. And so guess what? I'm going to go inside here and I'm going to watch The Naked City because I can. And that's one of the things I love most about our amazing digital society. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast. Podcast 824, another walk and talk, the first of the year. Appreciate people listening to the Bob Davis Podcast on Spotify as well as iTunes. TuneIn works with Alexa, so you can get us on Alexa, Google Play Music, Stitcher.com, and more right off the page at the BobDavisPodcast.com. You can stream it, or you can actually select individual podcasts and listen to them, and you can also subscribe to the feed right off the page at the BobDavisPodcast.com. I appreciate the likes, shares, favoriting, and following on Facebook and Twitter, and donations for Mobile Podcast Command. Thank you, Sue Salomon, for the $25 you sent. Goes right in the account to go into the tank once Mobile Podcast Command sallies forth. Thanks for listening to Podcast 824, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Right, Naked City. Yeah.
There are 8 million stories in the Naked City. This has been one of them.